lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
He just simply would not give up, would he? He simply would not be beaten. Jerez changed him, but it did not defeat him. There's been the surgeries and setbacks, tears and fears, a journey of recovery and discovery, a career reborn at Ducati as he reinvented himself as a person and a rider. Resilience matched by pure brilliance. There have been countless dark days and dozens of doubts, but there can be no doubt that we have witnessed a genius return to the peak of his powers in 2025. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Monday sporting titans who've been hailed for producing amazing comebacks. Now Marc Marquez surely has to be mentioned in the same breath. From all the pain to the pantheon of global sporting icons, Pecco Bagnaia will win the Japanese Grand Prix. But from career-saving surgery in Minnesota back to the top step of the podium motorland, the crowning glory here in Motegi is the comeback to top all comebacks. Marc Marquez is the 2025 MotoGP World Champion. He hit rock bottom.
He's back.
Yeah, sorry everyone for last week, but Dan, you did a great job, didn't you?
Yep.
Filling in, so
he's alive.
I'm alive. We're back. We both got our voices back.
Yep.
And we've witnessed one of the best sporting comeback stories we've ever seen, I think.
Yep. We just
We
just listened to Matt. Oh, you all would have listened to Matt Burt's commentary. Amazingly told.
Did he? You reckon he chat bit of chat GPT in that?
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
It was very amazing. Yeah. He did an excellent job summarizing it all, I guess.
It was it brings tears to your eyes when, you know, Marquez wins and he's standing in front of that big screen and, you know, all the shit that he's been through. So, yeah. I mean, we joke on this show a lot, don't we? It's all fun and games, but man, that was incredible what we witnessed last night. And what we've witnessed in the last 2 years for him to come back.
5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, amazing. And we'll talk about Marquez a lot tonight, but we'll just touch on quickly three comeback stories really on the podium.
Yeah, I know.
I know. With Bagnaia winning, we're coming out from nowhere, and then Miu's first podium since 21 and Honda's first podium since Motegi 23 in that rainy race.
And then Honda's on a podium with Marc Marquez. Yeah. So it's like, it's just weird.
Yep.
I just want to go into these real quick while we're kind of in the theme of it all. This is just some incredible stats after Marc Marquez's comeback and the world championship he's done. So he's competed for three different teams and two different manufacturers since his last MotoGP world championship. He's underwent 5 surgeries on his right arm and shoulder since 2019, missed 30 races due to injuries. He's crashed 108 times since his last championship in 2019, 581 days between his last win in 2019 and his first win back in from injury in Germany 21, 1,043 days until his next win in Aragon 2024 last year. Holds the record for the longest wait between MotoGP World Championships, 6 years. Previous longest gap was Casey Stoner, 07 to 11, Ducati to Honda. Second most MotoGP wins of any rider behind Valentino Rossi. 541 points already surpasses previous totals in the sprint era. Sixth rider in history to win a MotoGP championship with different manufacturers. Like the list just goes on and on. Fourth rider to win a MotoGP World Championship with Ducati. Most MotoGP wins in a row with Ducati. And then seventh MotoGP World title equaling Valentino Rossi. So it's just, yeah. The big stats for me, I think, is like the injuries. Like missed 30 races due to injuries, crashed 108 times. Like it's just incredible.
Yeah, I think... And it just carries on that theme from last night. Oh, yesterday afternoon, I should say. It's more than a number, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
It's the heartache that he's faced in these you know, the dark years. And I mean, I think we even spoke about, and I said it countless times. I said he's done. Just, you know, retire. You won your 6 titles, and it's time just to give it in. And then he just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. I didn't think he was going to come back and dominate the way he is. And you know, just incredible. So
look, I don't think anyone thought, like, even I thought, like, geez, I don't know how you can come back from that. But to just not only win and then come back and win, but to dominate a season, just how he has done it and just really being so ruthless from the start.
How nervous was he?
Yeah, I know. You could tell he was, and he says it, like, he was stiff on the bike and you could tell that.
And I was listening today to a couple of journalists and they're like, wow, he was... you know, he's had championships that's gone down to the last round, and he hasn't been that nervous.
Yeah.
You know, he knew the momentous occasion. He knew he wanted to do it there. Ateki's a special place in his heart, obviously. So, yeah,
like it's just amazing. He famously was pushing so hard when he didn't have to. I believe it was in like Valencia 2018, 2017, where he lost the front. Remember, lost the front, picked it back up his elbow. Like, geez, like he didn't even have to push it then.
He had to finish in the top, 10 or something, wasn't it? So, yeah, he's a changed rider. He's even changed in the last 2 years. I mean, he's just so calculated at the start of the races. It just lets that, you know, Michelin front tire come up to temp, and you can tell he's different how he was even in the Gresini days. So, the great riders, the best in the world, the best they've ever done it, adapt quickly to the conditions and bike and tires and everything, and he's just shown it once again.
He just shows it. As in, like, used tyres. There's no one better than used tyres than him. And he just kind of lets the race come to him halfway through. And as you said, like, adapts. Like, he's missed 4 years of racing where MotoGP has changed significantly. Let's just say 4 years, because he was on and off from 2019 to 2024, let's just say, on Ducati. It's changed dramatically for aero and electronics and ride height devices. And then for him to adapt the best out of everyone in the shortest amount of time is... like, no wonder.
Yeah. And then to adapt this 25 bike that looked hard to ride, and maybe it's interesting, and we'll touch on Bagnaia shortly, but going back to more of a 24 spec machinery for the weekends, obviously done him wonders.
There's a lot of talking points in tonight.
But it just shows you like how difficult and that 25 bike must be. I mean, it just shows. He's gone back to that. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it shortly.
Yeah, we'll go to it. Shout out to motorheaven.com.au, our partners out there, and bikeheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business. We say it every week, but it is true. Get all your best accessories. Motorcycle accessories, Shoei, HJC, Alpine Stars, Tom Dine Easy, AGV, Liat, Dirt Road. They got it all.
Beautiful.
LS2.
Beautiful. And guys, yeah, we're loving the love on Instagram and YouTube's been fantastic. And please, if you want that extra chat, that extra half an hour at the end of every app, please subscribe to our Patreon. We've got more stuff coming in that department. Obviously, James, we are 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from our big trip, Phillip Island, and then off to Malaysia. So we've got a lot of content coming up. So, in Australia, specifically in Victoria, October is the motorsport month. Your football finishes the last weekend of September, the AFL, and then you have obviously the Bathurst 1000 in a couple of weeks for MotoGP in Phillip Island, and then we're off, and then the Ashes come to cricket time. So October is motorsport month in Australia, so get around it.
Yep, 100%. It's about as good as it gets for us.
All right, let's run through results. So Pecco Bagnaia from absolutely nowhere win. He's had clean sweeps as well. Like, he's... you know, fastest lap.
None of it makes any
pole
sense.
And sprint.
Doesn't make any sense. Literally none of anything makes sense to me anymore.
It's amazing. And Mark Marquez second, as we touched on. Juan Mir third. Unbelievable on the Repsol Honda. Bezzecchi fourth. Morbidelli fifth. Alex Marquez sixth. Raul Fernandez seventh. Fabio Quartararo eighth. Zarco ninth. And Aldeguer tenth. It was one of those races where it really just concentrated on those... that one man at the front, and we didn't really see much what was going on. But Chandra gets a point. Is that his first point? Maybe it's his second point because he's in the wet. Everyone else fell off. But Chandra obviously beat Vinales, and then who is heavily injured. And
yeah, he must be on his deathbed.
Acosta crashed, but finished in front of Rins, who finished last place. So don't know what happened to Rins, but
he got ran off with. I think. Oh no, that was in a sprint. I can't remember what happened to Rins. Oh, you didn't see anything, but
might have just been slow.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of talking points as well. But going back to Mark, like, yeah, just incredible comeback. The scenes, the celebration. We got a message from Special Ed, and he messaged us, and it was so true. He's like, geez, I reckon they could have put some budget in for some real fireworks.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'll the be animated honest. Fireworks were great.
I said to you, I loved everything about the celebration, but it just missed something at the end, just to, you know, a bit of crash pop or something. You know, the Japanese might be scared of loud noises. Not allowed. But I loved it more than a number. It's all going back to MotoGP and Dornach and Liberty, by the sounds of it, changing the... you know, is it going to be a 9-time world champion, 7-time? Who cares? Like, he's come back. He's won the championship. We've spoken about last couple of weeks. I like the fact he's, you know, he's a 7-time world champion and he's going to be known as that. So I know there's a lot of other people the other way.
You are the about the only person that's not that way.
Yeah. So again, they're still 9-time world champions. Yeah. But we just refer them to him in commentary. And we actually had a direct message from a one of the head honchos at Dornham in the media aspect. And she goes, they're still 9-time world champion, she or he, still 9-time world champions, but we just referred them to as a 7-time world champion in the media. And, you know, because that's what they are, MotoGP. So,
Seven-time MotoGP.
Yeah. But,
The celebration was amazing. And the video montage.
It was perfect because Marquez was still so, it was already emotional.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, you know, it's like when you hear a song, like you're at a funeral and a song comes on and they got a montage of photos. Like, that always gets me.
Yeah.
And
gets
obviously
me every
got
time.
Him and he, you know, I've never seen that emotion of him before. Like,
not like that.
No. It was just a release of years and years of trauma, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. He finally says, like, I'm at peace.
Yeah.
Now I've done that. And yeah, to rewatch that and just the hard work, obviously he's gonna know more than all of us, but from where he's come from and he's sort of footage of like Saxon Ring and Jerez, and then to where he is now, he's got the red helmet, he's got everyone around him crying, like, geez, you'd be hard pressed to not at least just like that moment.
And you were saying that he didn't know idea that was all going on.
Yeah, no, he didn't know anything about it.
All the surprise, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know cool. It was more than number or anything.
But yeah, it's a close team, you know. Like, it just shows after being there for, well, he's been there for 9 months, you know, like, realistically. And
he wasn't even a factory supported rider last year.
I know. And they just got around him. Tadotti's crying.
He's crying if Marquez just sneezes.
Gigi's like, yeah,
stroking,
like,
the beard.
He's bloody, yeah, his bottom lips quivering. but yeah, is what else you say? I mean, it was just incredible, and he deserves it. And I think if we can rewind our watches back to, you know, that dark day in 2020, I mean, it's, and the other thing is, James, he had a lot of problems with his shoulder before that. In 2018, 2019, he had shoulder surgery as well. Not a lot of people realize that.
Yeah.
He had post-season shoulder surgeries in both those years, and his shoulder was absolutely cooked.
Mm.
So, and then for him to obviously hurt it even much more on more of that humerus bone, I think they were saying today, and, you know, just a lot of people don't recover from that injury, especially riding bikes.
Yeah. It's true. And, like, look, even myself, like, I remember when he had that injury in 2020, and I thought, you know, it's Mark Marquez. He's
going
to come back. Yeah, he's invincible. Like, you've seen him in all those crashes. But then they constantly see him crashing, hurting himself, him admitting, like, he came back too soon, which, you know, if anyone's going to do that, it's him. But I remember mid 2023, maybe late 22, and he was just running around, like, mid-pack, like, for a few rides there. And I just thought, I don't know if this guy's ever going to come back. Like, I really thought that I just don't see it.
Mm.
And then you famously on this podcast before anyone said, I think he's gone to Gresini. Mm. And you made the assumption with the, you know, it's going to be with his brother. And I mean, that was 6 months before that news broke.
Oh, it made sense. I mean, I think it was a stab in the dark from me, but, you know, his brother's there. He's going to be telling him how good the bike is. And it was a dominant bike. I mean, it was becoming a dominant bike at that point. And then obviously Bagnaia won 2 championships, and then Martin won on a non-factory bike. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So then obviously going to Gresini. And then when he started, like, he won some race, like, he obviously won 3 or 4 races, whatever, on Gresini. And we thought, okay, like, yeah, maybe he can fight for the championship. But we didn't know that the gap between a 23 and 24, how big that gap actually is, which is huge. And then he jumps to the 25 and then just has this season and just dominates on apparently not the best bike.
Yeah.
And, like, it just when we were at Thailand, we saw firsthand just how much faster he was than everyone else.
Mm.
How much faster he was at Bruno when he had to let Pedro Acosta through. And then, like, it's just an amazing comeback. And just the stories even through the year, like, you know, he comes back, wins a race with Factory Ducati, like, wins the world title, does a Leo Messi celebration. He's going to rack up 100 Grand Prix wins maybe next week. So he's just ticking off all of these boxes and his milestones. And it's special to watch. And just as a fan, I think you just have to appreciate it. And it'll be interesting to see how he goes for the rest of the year. He, I think it's going to be a lot looser now, a lot more relaxed.
Well, that's in. Is he gonna crash every race, or is he going to win every race?
I know, it's going to go either way, isn't it? T-Shavs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Motor Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices, and if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Mate, so you get all the best gear, and then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you. Nah. You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No. Nah.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to.
He's always calling you.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. He just doesn't look like crashing at any stage.
I think he'll go for it more, and I think it's more going to be really exciting for us. He's not going to sit back in second or third place. He's going to do everything to win.
I still just have this thing where he still wants to beat Rossi's records in like race wins, in world championships, definitely. Like, he's already come out and said that. Like, he wants to be the man in that. So, I don't see anything changing next year.
Seven world titles is an interesting club, isn't it? Since 2000, we've had Schumacher, Hamilton, Rossi, and now Marc Marquez. It seems to be seven is the title. I think even like, I'm speaking way out of tone here, but even like Kelly Slater, I think seven world title. Like, seven seems to be the number for a lot of people. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
Since 2000, since we were little kiddies, we've had these four huge names in the sport. And it's sort of it happened the same situation. So it was like, I don't think, you know, Hamilton and Schumacher ever fought on track, or they may have a little bit in those earlier days when Schumacher went to Mercedes. But like, passing of the baton, realistically, isn't it? Like, it's some similar eras, you know. And now they're all on seven titles. I mean, who's the first person going to get to eight?
if he's come back from all that, like, he's, I'm putting my money on.
Yeah, I think I'm putting my money on Marquez rather than Hamilton winning a title first. So.
Yeah, especially with what Ferrari's doing. But anyway, that's a.
Well, I don't want to jump in here, but Hamilton may miss Singapore this weekend.
Yeah, for the dog.
Because his dog's sick. I mean, I don't know how people at home feel about that, but I'm sure there's 50-50 people are like, what the heck, that's crazy. And the other 50s, oh, it's his dog, it's part of his family. But I'll let you guys have that discussion.
Yeah.
Sit on the fence like Switzerland, World War II.
I got no opinion on that. I don't really care. I don't have animals.
No.
Bagnaia, bro, I just don't... understands. I don't understand at all. So he's gone back to the 2024 forks, swing arm, and the older seat aero.
Yeah, rear aero was completely different back to 24.
So like, okay, yes, it's. I still don't understand how that makes such a massive turnaround.
like 30 seconds turnaround in a race weekend. Like 30 seconds better that he's been. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And his everything has been an issue for front end.
Yeah.
And he's on the hardest front end track there is. Because it's so hard on the brakes and then just dominates.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. It reminds me of Lorenzo Mugello 2019. They just changed the bike and now he's winning the race. I mean, he was nowhere, Lorenzo. I mean, nowhere. Yeah. Mid-pack, nowhere. And then just flipped a switch. I mean... I don't think we'll ever get it. I don't think we'll ever understand it. This will be like, we're going to stand here in 7 days' time, sit here in 7 days' time and talk about the race. And if he's put on a great show in Mandalika, which is a like completely different circuit, then we can start asking massive questions. Is Motegi Motegi just so different?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about braking, up, like sitting upright braking as well. A lot of like, there's not a lot of like
trail braking.
Yeah. It's just like pull the throttle as hard as you can, dip it, tip it in, get on that throttle and get out of the corner, which is his strength. But you know, he's not dominated like he hasn't dominated like that at Motegi in the recent years anyway. When he was dominating, you know.
Well, he won the sprint and the main race last year, but he looks pretty untouchable. Like, he got the typical Pecco Bagnaia start. pulled a second lead real quick and then managed it to, you know, a 2 second lead or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, the year before that, Martin won, but I do remember that was in the wet. So, and then we, you know, obviously Marquez finished on the podium that year, didn't he? Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to find this today, James, but what's the go with the smoke?
No, there's nothing. Like, I guess they're never going to come out with it though and tell you what it is.
Was it dying? Do you think? Was it on its last legs?
Everyone is assuming it's just an engine that's on its way out.
See, that does not happen though. You don't see blue puff smoke and the bike keep going.
I've seen it, but it's
The Italians
fucking rare.
The Italians are at home going sabotage. Sabotage.
There's so many hot takes. There is so many hot takes about that.
Curtis, what do you think?
It was like the most tense, like last 10 laps of that race, just because of the fact we're wondering if that bike was going to go from smoking to fire.
I was waiting for it.
Gigi's face was saying it all.
And dumping oil all over the track because Mark didn't want to be behind him because he's like, I'm the guinea pig straight out. And he said that. He's like, I didn't really want to be following him but I wanted to finish second because I wanted to be a 1-2. But like if that dumps oil, you're not really going to... Like you'll see him blow. You don't know where the oil is going to be. Yeah. And then...
Well, I was just wondering if they just chucked in too much oil and that was just the exhaust sputtering it all.
Yeah, I agree with Curtis because I think it was only on like high lean over points and then
corner exits. When he was putting the throttle, it was when he was putting down the throttle because even he said in the last 3 or 4 laps, he was starting to lose power. When that's when it was smoking.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know. I don't know how a MotoGP engine works. Yeah. Like they're not going to tell us.
I noticed most of the big smokes happening in like left and rights, like going from left to right essentially in the like the last few corners.
Mm.
It's when you notice a big puff of smoke.
There was, going onto the front straight.
Yeah.
But it sort of started and went away and then came back even worse. It's just an engine failure waiting to happen, but just didn't make sense. It just didn't blow. How do you do 15 laps on a engine that's about
it was
to
wild, but it just made for cinema.
Yeah, it made a boring race a little bit more.
If it wasn't for Marquez winning the title, Pecco back, it would have been just a stinker of a race. And my Juan Mir actually doing something on the Honda, which was awesome. But like just with Pecco, like yeah, you're right. Now these flyaways going to Philippon, going to Mandalika, and these tracks. You know, that's going to be the real test because if he's quick there, then, you know. And, like, there's all these messages, like, why didn't he figure this out earlier? Well, they have been trying things.
Mm.
But it does seem really simple, like such a simple fix for this massive gain, which I don't understand. Well,
probably was that there was probably 1,000 different answers that could have been the right
one.
Yeah,
of course.
They were trying to figure it out. And then Stoner came in and said, may need to fix this, this, and this. It's been a few more races after that, at least. But Pecco Bagnaia did see a bit of improvement.
Misano test, they figured it out. He was quick in the Misano test. Yeah. That's where the changes were made.
And I reckon now that after the results from Montegi that just happened, they're probably going to lean more towards whatever direction that is, essentially, and kind of improve it in those areas.
Well, they got that base now, but like they're working now towards that GP27. The 800cc bike. They're hardly putting anything into next year as well.
Yeah, because we know it's just going to be a shiny 24 bike that's going to be rolled out next year by the sounds of things.
I'm still not sold on Bagnaia though. Not after one round. Like, I'm not sold.
If he only won the sprint and didn't do the race as well, then I would agree with you. But the fact that he did it again and again and then was able to get up to 4 seconds distance between himself and Marquez, although in fairness he was behind Acosta, but it was able to make a 4 second gap in the lead.
He was unchallenged. He was never really behind at any point in the weekend. There was no challenge at all.
Any practice session, any qualifying session.
Yeah, he topped FP1. Never happens. Yeah. Never happens. I think he's done it 3 times in his career.
In a pace of his own until those last 15 laps when you saw smoke coming and Marquez was slowly clawing back the hundredths of seconds.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm still jury's out for me. You can't just
seven days time.
You can't turn it around.
No, we can't. We're not going to stand here and say he's back. We'll just sit, put on ice.
And there's been a few false dawns.
Oh,
I am 80% confident he'll probably have a podium at Phillip Island unless there's a crash.
At Phillip Island, what about Mandalika?
Second or first, maybe.
Whoa, jeez, Curtis.
Jesus, man's on.
I reckon
he's Ducati Nuffy, though.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah. Hyperfixation.
You gotta just take whatever Curtis is saying, listeners. He's Mr. Ducati, this guy.
Yeah.
I reckon he's found a bit of his mojo back, and I reckon he's going to use that.
Oh, look, I'll see what that's it.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Curdy. Yeah, I mean, I think it was funny with Pecco because he finally wins and then it gets fully overshadowed by...
Fully overshadowed.
Like, and I'm watching it thinking, they have not even shown Pecco on the, TV.
That, yeah.
And Mark Marquez is on the main straight, lifting up the trophy. I'm like... Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was quite unusual, but I mean...
Poor Juan Mir as well, finally gets back on the fucking podium and no one knows.
Yeah, I think it was just such a big occasion, wasn't it?
Oh, so, it's fair enough. Like, yeah. I get it. And I liked it. I actually thought it was quite good and I liked the stage setup and the confetti was the wrong color. I don't know why they did white. Like, it should be red. Like, they could have... They had 6 months of planning for
color
that.
Color of... Yeah, they're Japanese. They don't like the bread, James. Color of blood, bro.
PTSD, man.
They should have said... It should have been red and white. Color of the Japanese flag as well. Everyone would have been happy.
Red. Red. It's like the grand final in football.
Yeah.
My autism like hooked into that.
Yeah. Talk about hyperfixation.
Yeah, very, very much. But like I thought the actual thing, him doing the trophy there, getting all the team around him, getting the photos, I thought with the confetti, like I actually did think that was spot on. And I think that's how you should be doing it. Like I kind of feel bad for the guys in Parc Fermé. Because you don't get to see that. Maybe they could time it maybe a little bit better. But I just thought, he's won the world title. And it's the biggest name in motorcycle racing and almost motorsport right now. Like, you're going to put all the TV cameras on him, aren't you?
Geez, first time in a long time, and you're probably going to answer this because the autism. When has three world champions been on the podium together?
Man, MotoGP world champions.
Lorenzo Rossi and Stoner maybe back in the D-Day?
Nah, there's a photo. It's getting put up. It'll be up by the time this podcast is just about up. And it's Marquez, Rossi, Lorenzo on the podium in 2017.
Yeah. In San Marino.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it might be San Marino. Not anywhere. I don't think in the 2020s. Maybe was there a podium where it was Mark, Fabio, and Pecco? But I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it?
That's a good one. And it's awesome to see Juan Mir back on the Honda at Mr. Honda's track.
Yes. We've got an exclusive with Mir, don't we, James? Yeah. And Anafila Bon. If you listen to Motorsport Republica podcast, you will get a... what are we calling this? A mini pod.
Yeah,
mini pod with Juan. He's approached us, so
yeah,
super excited about that. And tell us how he's been in the last couple of years, because he must have been down in the dumps. You know, I mean, Honda, even call it 18 months ago, was like, where do you start with it? It's deplorable, yeah. Like they were just nowhere. And then you look at Marini and Mir's career going, oh my God, this is going to finish and. They have nowhere to go. Honda's leaving. Like, it's crazy. They'll come back and add a podium. So,
a podium, which is great, awesome great to see. News. And great for Juan Mir. And I think I've been saying this whole time. Like, everyone's been pretty harsh on him. Like, if he's been crashing, I get it. So many crashes. But it's been, fifth, sixth place. He's started to get some top sixes. And he's had a legitimate fourth and a legitimate third.
Yeah, that was a legitimate third. Like, he obviously Acosta just ran out of tyres and then ran off at the end. But, legitimate fourth, legitimate podium. And great form that goes into the flyways. I think it's so important to have a good race this start of these few weekends away, because it just builds momentum.
Yeah, and it's just crazy that HRC was on the podium when Marquez won. Crazy.
I know, that's the thing. Like, you got a HRC, Santi Hernandez, and they're all hugging Tardozzi because they're all waiting on the podium. Yeah. Like,
I know.
Amazing. Oh, yeah, it's just God, God doing great, crazy things.
Racing gods.
Just back on Mark for 1 second. This has been a big story in the papers today. Mick Doohan or Mark Marquez, better comeback story.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of comments on that.
Because we have very quick memories here.
Yes, Mick Doohan almost losing his leg is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The one thing that separates it for me is Mick at that stage hadn't won anything yet. So the drive is there. Mark was already an 8-time world champion or whatever it is.
Six time.
I agree to disagree. But he was already a multiple time. So there wouldn't be any drive to come back like he
drive, did. That is such a good point. Because that is the determining factor. Because he can hang up his boots and have a Hall of Fame career.
Yep.
Hall of Fame career he can have. But no, he comes back. 5 different surgeries. 108 crashes, whatever you said before, comes back, crawls his way through the hard way to back to Ducati, has to go through the junior team, we'll call it, and then to win a championship.
Takes a massive pay cut, loses 20 mil.
Massive. Loses Red Bull.
Yep. So like
allegedly.
Yeah. So like the sacrifices made when there is like, it's not like he hasn't won a title where Mick hadn't won a title. Again, like, you know, it's so different, obviously, and it's hard to really compare them. But if there was any separating factors, it would be Mick hadn't won anything yet. So the drive might just still be stronger where, as you said, Mark can literally hang up the boots and be on Mount Rushmore motorcycle racing.
Mm.
But to still come back is incredible. And the hard way, that hard, hard, hard way.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Well done. We've got to talk about Jorge Martin as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this. So he's snapped his collarbone in half, basically. What was that move, man?
I don't know.
Misjudged it.
And yeah, we've had plenty of... We'll go through the hot takes later, but I mean, there's a lot of anger in the community because he's taken Bez out. There's no apology to the team or to Bez, and crashing's become just a part of... what did Sandy Hernandez say? Part of his personality.
Did he say that? I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, that was our hot take.
I thought you meant the actual... It's like, whoa.
I'll get it up later so we can give him the official. But for me, it's... Yeah, I mean, he's just so disappointing. We're not going to see him. We're in Thailand. We didn't see him. We're going to fill a bowl. We won't see him. And he's probably not going to be in Sepang either because it's a week after. And he just needs to calm down. Just calm down. Get to the end of the year. Get a few points under the belt. Get your ride fit back up. Don't do stupid Banzai moves into the hairpin front first corner and then take your teammate out, brother.
That's fighting for third in the title.
But he's...
Broken. And like, it just...
He's off the bike before the corner. He's off the bike.
Yeah, he was. He just real royally fucked that up. Like, royally misjudged it. Man, his stocks are plummeting in just probably the rider market, the fan market. Like, you know, he just... Is Jorge Imar... It has to be the worst, most disappointing title defense of all time. I don't... He's won that at least.
Yeah, you're probably right, I think.
I've never seen a worse title defense besides maybe someone retiring.
I don't know. Recent memory, it's deplorable not to... You know, he's not gonna finish on the podium. He's not going to get a... Is he going to get a top... He finished fourth, didn't he, Hungary? But yeah, I mean, just absolutely terrible.
Terrible.
A massive injury in preseason testing. Started, he comes back. Massive injury.
Kind of wasn't his fault to a degree.
And then finally gets back to some sort of form. He writes an Instagram post at the start of the week. He's saying, my year starts now.
Yeah.
And then crashes in the first corner. He's sliding.
Yeah, I know.
Towards the bikes into the first corner. I mean, he's royally fucked that up. Like,
and then, as you said, Banzai's his own teammate from the clouds. Like, take out anyone else but your own teammate fighting for third in the title. The fucking thing
is about that. He's starting, 15th or something?
Mm.
And then Bez is up there in 6th. He still takes him out.
I know. Like, that's how crazy.
I mean, there's been some stupid moves, but he wasn't even squeezed that much. Like, you normally get squeezed into that first corner. He just completely outbroke himself. Where you have to be going slower into that corner anyway because you're going in so tight. I think he just grabs too much front brake, doesn't he? Loses the bike, tumbles, and then flies off. But yeah, like, I mean, it happens quickly. It's easier said than done. It's easier us giving him shit from the table here. But yeah, it's just, you MotoGP rider, you've had a terrible year. Just stay on the bike. Support your teammate. Stay on the bike.
Broken collarbone, man. Like, I just
and
don't
he's
get
Bez
it.
Is chasing down Bags. And Bags wins the race, you know. The worst race you could possibly take him out.
It was a shit weekend for Aprilia, though, because they were crashing, both of them, in all the practices. Yeah. Like, it was, they couldn't qualify. Like, it was just a shocking, shocking weekend for them. Jorge Martin shouldn't, but he's going to have some pressure on his shoulders for next year.
Well, I mean...
He's not going to be the reigning world champion.
I know.
He's going to have to... Marco Bezzecchi, as we all know, has really stepped up. The team have really gotten around him.
Raul Fernandez has stepped up.
I know.
Raul Fernandez is finishing top 7 every race. We don't even talk about him.
I know.
Like, he's had an unbelievable last, 4 months.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying that Raul Fernandez is going to go onto the factory bike, but there's so much talent coming through. And if it's more of the same this next year, which it won't be, but, like, the pressure... the pressure will be coming. And I still don't think that it's all love and lovey-dovey with those
him
and
Aprilia. No.
Like, they love Marco Bezzecchi. They love him. Like, he is Aprilia. He has been so stable. He's given him all the results. Mm. Dude doesn't complain. He just does it. And he's won races and he's taken it to Mark. Where, like, Jorge Martinez just been, like, the black sheep. He's the troubled child.
And he's also probably getting paid double what Bezzecchi is.
Fuck yeah. And then, like, just... For everything that's happened, there has to be some type of resentment there. It's like, if your missus cheated on you and you chose to stay with her. There's always going to be resentment there. It's the same thing.
It's always there, yeah.
You know, so like, I don't see Jorge Martin on an Aprilia in 2027. Mm. I think it's very slim.
Mm.
I think they'll get rid of him. And put...
Aiguru, maybe?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
Anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. They're a small team. They're paying this guy big dollars. They've got young talent coming through. Bezzecchi's shining. He's a shining light for that team. So they can say to themselves, we're going to just full go Bezzecchi, the Italian. Let's follow him to the T. We'll put a young kid on that bike, that second bike, and we'll have a great, great outfit going through the new rules in 27.
Or pay Quartararo money. He's going to have a free contract. You know, it's like there's that many different options that they can do. And
because that's the thing about Quartararo as well. It's a dream. He's just a dream rider because he just gets the job done. Mm. Yes, he complains a bit in the media and that's...
But I think that's almost fair.
It's fair. I mean, he's been knocked down and punched by the Japanese manufacturer that many times that you're going to finally start hitting back. You can't just stay on the ground and with continuous hits. So, but for me, like, he's going to just give his all. He's just giving his all in, you know, in Yamaha. He's not going to, he doesn't crash. He doesn't get injured either.
Nah.
So, he would be a dream signing, but you'd have to pay him big dollars. And
well, I don't know if you do. I think he's been paid the money and now I think he just wants to win.
He's banked up.
Yeah, just wants to win. And I think he's seen what Marquez has done and I'm sure he's going to want to get paid. But I think at this point, if Yamaha's not doing anything next year, then he's happy to take a pay cut to start winning again.
Can Aprilia be a world champion, though? Like, is it a world champion bike? Can it really be better than the Ducati?
Well, I think if you had Marc Marquez on it, then yeah, it is.
You reckon Marquez would win it on Aprilia this year?
Yeah. That's my opinion.
Mm.
I think it's probably the only other bike he could win on.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. We're going to finish this year and we're going to talk about this. It's going to be called a seesawing year for all the manufacturers because you had KTM were down here, then they're up here. Then Aprilia started shit, then they've got good again. And then Honda were sort of up here, they've gone back down, they've come back again. And then Yamaha really won a race, pole position. Now they're like last on the grid.
Yeah.
Like, you know those graphs where you see them go up and down and stuff? Yeah. That's going to be...
Stock market.
That's going to be... Ducati would just be up top.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be everyone else just sort of fighting for the position down below. So...
It's true. It's a great point you make. And, you know, the gap is shrinking. The gap is definitely shrinking between all the manufacturers. But, how much will that gap close next year?
Oh, you keep calling it. I think it will significantly. Are more teams investing in 26 than, say, a Ducati? So that's the other question. Is everyone concentrating on 27 or is there going to be an outfit that's gone, you know what? Let's put a little bit more into next year. I don't think KTM's that team because I think they're obviously financially not ruined, but I think they're struggling. So, you know, Aprilia going, well, let's concentrate a little bit on 26. Let's really master this bike that we have and let's go for a title. And I reckon Bezzecchi, if he has a really good preseason, great test, you know, he can fight up there. Can he beat Marc Marquez on the Ducati? I don't think so, but... What do? Is their best chance 27?
You know, Yamaha bought in a brand new exhaust for the inline four at a GP. Did you see that?
Oh, I don't even.
And then they all poo pooed it.
No.
The inline four. It's only got like a few races left. Now, I got something here for you. I don't know if you know this, but I'm excited to tell you. Apparently, this is what was being said in the media. Franco Morbidelli was offered a GP 26 and he turned it down.
Wow.
With VR46. So they're both going to have the GP26.
Yep.
And that's why Alex Marquez has it.
So why would he turn it down?
No one's commenting.
Wow. Because he'll be on a 25 bike, which is the bike that is more difficult to ride.
Mm.
Interesting.
So that they interviewed the VR46 team and Gresini. and they both kind of had the same but not the same answer. And I reckon there was push. They're saying that Franco's turned it down, but I reckon there was push from Ducati to go, no. Alex Marquez deserves his bike, not Frankie Morbidelli.
Yeah, interesting. And you guys were talking about this last week. And what's going to happen to Aldegar if he had that in his contract, as we all thought he had? Well, he's going to be on a 25 bike, I suppose. So I don't know how they've
got that works. But there has to be a clause in there somewhere, because it hasn't been an issue in the media.
Mm.
Like, it hasn't been an issue at all. No rain over the weekend.
Oh, a little trickle in Moto 3.
Yeah, but normally it pisses down for 1 point in the weekend. Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it was probably... It was actually a good thing it didn't rain, I think. Normally I love the rain, but I'm like, you know, would we just have a good, nice, clean weekend for...
I'm telling you, I said this last week or 2 weeks ago, that I'm not a fan of Motegi. The racing's not great. I don't like it. I think it's got good aspects of that track, but I'm not in.
It takes a big, bold, big, bad, bustling Barry Hall move on the inside to get a move done.
Yeah,
because if you put it up the inside, it's just block pass.
Or you're doing a Jorge Martin skilling half the fucking pack.
But for me, it's just you have to block pass. You got to lose. You got to make that rider lose. You know,
you got to lose time to make time.
Correct. Yeah, there's no easy, clean pass on that track. No. And that's...
I don't like that.
Well, yeah, it's not really MotoGP, but James, this is the thing. They can't all be the same. It's good to have, you know, it's good to have a variety.
Yes.
A menage a trois, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we all like that. Give me the belt, bro. Fuck. But... but I'm just a slut for good racing.
Of course,
I don't care if it's Phillip Island 22 times. Mm. Well, yeah, I do, I guess, but I don't care. Like, and this brings me to my other point. Because Marquez has won now, do you think people are going to be turning off watching the rest of the season? Because for me as a fan, and maybe I'm just a super fan. Like, I can't... Yes, it matters, but as long as there's a good race, I don't really care if the championship's up for grabs or not.
Yeah, I think we're such fans that it doesn't matter, but I think it does matter in the community. Like, the person who sort of is just on the brink of watching it every weekend, does he really worry about it as much now? I think it does affect... I think it definitely affects the crowd numbers. A lot of people coming in and feel, oh, why would I come down? The championship's done, you know? From our point of view...
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I'll never understand it.
But I'm just telling you, that's the fact.
Yeah, you know? I think you're right. But like, I just would like to see good racing no matter what. If the championship's tighter, it is better. It's better to watch. It's better to go down. I understand that. But if it's just good racing, I don't know. I think it's just... Yeah, you should be happy if it's just a good race.
Yeah, I think they'll get big numbers at Valencia. Obviously, they missed out last year. So, I think there'll be big numbers at Valencia, because that's always going to be the Grand Prix if it's, you know, all over Red Rover. You know, they might get half the crowd, but I think people will turn up there. Phillip Island had 90,000 people for the weekend at Motegi, which doesn't seem like a lot of people. There's still a lot of spare seats. I know it's a hard Grand Prix to get to, but the Japanese normally do turn out. Mandalika, who knows what crowd numbers, Portimao later in the year. That's second last race, isn't it? Portimao. Yeah. They both Portimao than Valencia now, don't they?
Yeah.
So, because still a lot of racing to go.
I know.
I mean, just it feels like the season's finishing, but it's still a lot of racing to go. Yeah. So there five is. More races still.
Yeah.
Five more sprint races. So, God, he's wrapped it up early, really early.
Yeah. Like, again, it's crazy. Like,
he only needed 17 races to win a championship, where you've got, you know, you've got still 200 points available.
Mm.
So, now, yeah, you have 200 points available.
So, yeah, like, for me, it doesn't matter, but I guess I can understand where it does for other people, but as long as the racing's good, who cares?
Oh, exactly.
If every race was like 2015 Phillip Island.
I was watching the race with my missus yesterday. She goes, what do you mean? He didn't win. He won. I said, no, he won the race, but Marquez won the championship. She goes, oh, that's it then. You're not going to Phillip Island now. I said, no, we still go. Like, she goes, why would you? Who cares? The championship's over.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, interesting. Like, it's a different point of view.
Yeah, where- that's funny.
You know, I don't look at it like that, and the racing fan doesn't, but the person who might be trying to get into it and on the brink and being a Formula One fan, oh, let's flick it on. Oh, the championship's done, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting point you make, but yeah, who knows? I don't know. And the only thing is the Phillip Island numbers. Are people going to turn out? They want to see Marquez in red, you know? They haven't seen that. So, I think we'll get a lot of people coming down, Ducati fans and stuff, to see that.
T-Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Let's see a world champion around our great circuit.
As an Aussie, though, I think the only way Aussies turn out, we've spoken about this before, is if an Aussie is winning. Yes, like it was big with the Rossi days, but it was much bigger when Casey was big. It was much bigger.
Like, oh,
numbers
massive.
The numbers. 120. He'll get 40,000 more people there.
Yeah, they did. They get about 80, 90 now. And they used to get 120, 130. Yeah. So you're right. It is.
So it's when you're local, and that's, I'm sure it's with a lot of, a lot of, unless you're Spanish, you're just fucking numb to it. But
it's amazing though. We have 22 races of the year and there is some people on that grid because of that one race. I mean, Diego Moreira signing for MotoGP next year. They haven't announced that yet.
It's looking like it.
It's because of Brazil's coming next year. There's an Aussie on the grid because they want an Aussie on the grid. You know, they
sells tickets.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing that there is still a little bit of that under the cloth. Yeah. You know, there's still let's sign him because imagine how many people we're going to get at that Grand Prix circuit. And there is talk of that with Dorna. There's a little bit of, I don't know, was there a bit of cash under the table, or is there a bit of, we'll put a little bit of money your way? We'll talk to Chris about that. You know?
In your opinion, though, do you think it's better to have a little bit like Formula One, where you have just one Spanish Grand Prix, one Italian Grand Prix, and then that's where you get your one Brazilian Grand Prix, your one Argentinian Grand Prix, one Malaysian Grand Prix, and kind of spread it out around the world?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because
there's
so many good tracks that would be left out of Italy or Spain.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting now. It used to be more like that. Yeah. So you went to
South Africa.
You went to one Spanish track. You went to one. Now you go to there was two Italian, Monza and San Marino. There's now going to be Barcelona and Madrid next year. So there's two Spanish tracks.
F1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They're going in F1. They're going. There's so many races now. There's 25, right? 24 races. So many races. Should there be one track each country?
Excuse me?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
I like that idea. Like,
but imagine that. Like, which Spanish track would you go to? Jerez.
Bro, Barcelona is fucking shit.
Don't mince your words.
Valencia is a go-kart track.
Aragon's
actually a good track and always produces good racing. So it's just in the middle of the desert. But
where'd you go? San Marino or Mugello?
Mugello. But okay, you can still have, for now, you could still you could sacrifice like a Barcelona and then bring in like a South African track, like Kyle Army or another Argentinian track or a Canadian Grand Prix, another North American one.
1,000%. But this is the fact. You probably get 160,000 people at Barcelona.
I know. Yeah.
You know, and you get 90,000 at Motegi. You might get 60,000. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Money talks.
Yeah.
For sure.
So they're looking at that point of view. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't... It's such a risk. It's such a risk to go to a new circuit. I mean, it's... Like Hungary probably was a bit of a failure. They didn't get the crowd that we thought they were going
to
get.
Go to Most.
Oh, geez, a bloody nuclear power plant. I'll say that for the World Superbikes.
Toprak got interviewed actually by TNT Sports. And he was saying the exact same things we've been saying for ages. Why are we only going to European circuits? I'm having meetings with Dorna all the time. It doesn't really concern me now because I'm going to MotoGP. But you look at them. They go all around the world.
Yeah.
We're stuck in Europe. And he goes, I'm bored. He says, I'm bored. I'm stuck in Europe.
There you go.
You know, that's from Mr. Toprak, Raz Gagliolugu.
Yeah, we'll see how he goes a year traveling MotoGP circuit because that's a big effort.
Big effort. Yeah. And, you know, the breaks in between World Superbikes is like 3 years. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, amazing amazing weekend.
What else do you say?
There's nothing else we can say. We've been waffling on about it for ages. It's been a Marquez podcast, but what do you expect? The MotoGP World Champions, done it so early. He's so much better than everyone else.
Let's scramble through a bit of Moto 2 action. So... The new star in Moto2, Danny Holgado.
Your boy.
First, my boy. Jake Dixon second, fast all weekend.
Unbelievable.
Diego Mirra. So Jake Dixon seems like the old cat now, doesn't he? Like
the
he
old
just,
dog.
Yeah, the old dog. He's just like all these young kids are so fast. He's like he's just in the pack.
Like, and he's probably like 27.
Yeah, I know. Well, Danny Delgado is Diego Moreira, young kid, you know. Moreira third, sorry. David Alonso fourth. Manu Gonzalez fifth. Actually, an amazing race from the long lap. Tony Arbolino sixth.
Your boy.
Barry Bolthas seventh. Ivan Ortola eighth. Albert Arenas ninth. And our boy Colin Vaya, 10th place. Guys, a lot of new names in there. I mean, there's some old dogs, you know, Arbolino and Dixon, but, you know. David Alonso, Moreira, Holgado, you know, they're all first years.
Did I not tell you that like the young rookies like Holgado and Alonso at the start of the year will start shining at the end of the year? Constant top fives now. And Holgado has proved everyone wrong. Like yeah. I didn't expect him to be going so well.
Well,
but
Danny,
for his first year,
Danny Mr. Aspar, Jorge Martinez called that. He said, don't sleep on Holgado. We're talking about David. But, you know, the people don't understand. Holgado was in Moto3 last year with David Alonso. They both come up together. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize this, James.
And he was coming second to David Alonso.
And he's
still fast.
And he's winning in a Moto2, which doesn't happen. The first year of Moto2 is so difficult. I mean, David Alonso, yes, he's won one race, but, you know, that's his second race win, Holgado. It's amazing. Mm. So, doesn't happen in this modern day world that these young 19-year-old kids come up and start winning in Moto2 when you've got guys in there like the Dixons and the Arbolinos have been there for 5+ years. You know, Alonso Lopez, guy was winning races.
I know. Pulled out the ace card in Phillip Island a few years ago.
And like,
next big thing.
You know, him and Aldeguer were the two fucking pretty boys in the, you know, and now they're just, I mean, I don't even know.
Well, Aldeguer's in MotoGP, but.
Yeah. Alonso Lopez, 11th. No, but they were the two, you know, they were best mates, you know? And like, what are they doing right now? Like, I would guess flying in a Ducati team and I don't know if Lopez even has a contract for Nick. I mean, I don't know, but, you know. It's crazy how life can just change so quickly in this paddock.
Well, I love dissecting Moto. I find Moto2 so fascinating because you're just so close. You're so close to MotoGP, but you've only got the smallest window to actually get in there.
It's, crazy first few corners for that race. Oh my God. That's just
incredible. What about your boy? Azonta van der Gorbe.
Yes, geez, that was lucky, wasn't
it? If you check out... Jesus. That was one of our helmets that just fell.
And you finally get it, it's still hard. Like, it should be fucking easy after that.
That's fucking crazy hard that still is. Hang on. Let me fucking
it. I'm holding it for you. You pull the red.
Yes. Doomed goal. Yes. Not look up.
Sorry, just had a bit of a... We haven't had a bit of a muck up in the... while, have we?
Well, I don't know if we're going to put this in the edit, but the helmet behind us, the helmet on the left fell off the wall.
Yeah, sabotage.
Katie? It's not Michael.
Fucking the history of Rossi and that helmet was like just too flabbergasted about the whole 40 minutes and he just decided to drop off.
Right. It was spooked by talking about Marquez so much. That's funny.
That's wild. So Zonta van der Gorbe, he actually had a brake failure and actually jumped off the bike in the third corner, which wasn't caught on the telecast. But yeah, it was incredible. What he did to get that bike off as well was unbelievable and a great effort to him. So,
and to not take out anyone. Did you say that?
Oh, dude, like, he could have killed someone.
I know, crazy.
The bike was going just as fast when he jumped off than he was when he was on. So, yeah pretty wild, pretty wild. Talk about David Alonso as well. It's funny how he is so small and tiny on the bike that it takes him so long to get those tire pressures up.
Mm.
You know, he's always so slow in the first few laps and then he really comes good at the... in the last, you know, last push because he's just caught hold his tires. It's so interesting that.
Give him the T-Shav diet, puts on some muscle.
Well, it was like a Danny Pedrosa. It was similar back in the day. I mean, just had great late race pace. I mean, it's... do you think it's only due to his weight or is it more riding style? What are your thoughts on that?
It could be a bit of both. Weight is a massive factor because you can go either way. You can be Scott Redding as well and be almost too heavy.
Yep.
You kind of got to be a sweet spot, which is like a Marc Marquez or a Jorge Lorenzo back in the day. But like, look, it's probably just going to come with time of riding style as well. Like, but you can work around it. And remember, Danny Pedrosa also won 125 and a double 250 world champion as well.
Yeah, the Gonzalez-Vietti incident for me was an interesting one because you had Vietti pushing Manu wide in the previous corner and then obviously hot-headed Spanish who's not really a hot-headed Spanish man, who's a really nice
guy. He's really not.
Went for that sort of, you know, inside line and knocked the handlebar and off he went. Yep. And then obviously got the long lap. But it's funny, I was thinking about you and this, and I was thinking, like, you know, he's come, the Eddie's come from behind, sort of push Manu wide, and then Manu's had and tried it back at him and then knocked his handlebars. But I'm like, it's racing for me.
Racing incident, you reckon?
Racing incident. Yeah, I thought
it
was harsh. Yeah, I think it was a long way back. But, you know, you got to take it. If you're going to give it, you got to take it as well. Mm. You know, if he just went up the inside and knocked him off, bang, and see you later, yeah, of course, long lap. But, you know, battling was probably a bit of an unfair move from Vietti in the previous corner. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. And I think that's only a long lap penalty lately, like in the last couple of years, MotoGP. I think that would have been a pretty fair game back in the D-Day. But
yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Moto3.
Wow, jeez. He's not mucking around. He wants to get the hot takes, guys. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, there's just while you're looking up Moto3, there is that many hot takes from everyone, like not everyone, but people saying that for some reason the Italians are letting Marquez win and not the actual Italian. They've sabotaged the bike until he's won the title.
It's amazing.
Rossi's put his hand in it. Like, it's unbelievable. It's the funniest to read. Every Monday, it is so much fun to read. There's some really good ones in there, and we mostly read the really good ones. But
Moto3, a little bit of rain around, which has made it spice it up a little bit, but wasn't the greatest of races for their high standards. David Munoz, runaway leader in first. Jose Antonio Rueda, second. Maximo Quiles, third. He's racing 13 races this year. He's led 10 of them.
That's amazing. Oh, as a rookie.
He wasn't even there at the start of the year,
was he?
No, he
was too young.
He's another one. They just, the bloody factory in Spain just produces another one.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Valentin Peroni, fourth. Argentinian somehow. Adrian Fernandez, fifth. Rusai Yamanaka, sixth. Guido Pini, seventh. Joel Calso, and eighth. Luca Lanetta, ninth, and Dennis Old Man Foggia, 10th place.
Old Man Foggia. Yeah, a bit of a stinker of a race. It kind of came together the last few, three riders, whatever, for the podium at the end, but the rain kind of split up the pack, which, you know, I understand the rain's always good. And you had a really good point about the rain and letting them ride.
Yeah, I mean, the rain was coming down and they could have easily red flagged and really disrupted the whole day.
Yeah.
They let it run, sun came out. Bloody Furosato. Japanese couldn't handle it again. He was up there second chasing down and crashes. I mean, how many times has it happened?
I know.
How many times? Just stay on the bike, man. Like, in your home race, you're finishing on the podium. Just stay on the bike. Just unbelievable.
Doing an Aiguera flashbacks, up the championship.
Flashbacks. Just crazy. Yeah, exactly.
And Aiguera didn't race.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The injury in his home Grand Prix, poor bastard. Yeah. At least they had Tucker out there, I guess.
But yeah, Japanese can't handle the heat, and so good they let the race keep going. That was my two notes.
No, that was good. Mm. That was good. It wasn't the greatest race, but that's just Moto3. Sometimes it happens. I think the weather really disrupted it. Unfortunately, Joel got a bit beaten up again. Bit stock standard, but David Munoz, mate. Yeah, he's keeping an eye on the helmets. Look at him. David Munoz just etching it out, and he's got some serious talent.
Daniel Munoz?
David Munoz.
David Munoz. Because Daniel Munoz crashed in Moto2, didn't he?
Yeah, in the tunnel.
Yeah, oh, that was a scary incident.
Yeah.
Going back to one, just holding off for hot takes. Speaking of, Jimmy, world famous, hot takes. Big week for that. Probably the biggest we've ever had.
Yeah.
Lots of comments, as you just touched on, alluded to earlier, about the mammoth amount of Rossi and Marquez we still get. We're going to have, obviously, just a we're going to have a big special at the end of the year, Marquez v. Rossi, looking at both their careers, their battle, 2015 Sepang. So we're trying to, you know, hold everything together for that. And then we're going to have a massive, imagine the hot takes for that one, Jimmy boy. Could you imagine?
That is going to be disgusting. It's going to be probably the best thing ever.
Yeah. A few beers, I reckon, on that one.
Oh, good call, actually.
Yep.
That'll be a real issue if it's me, you, and Danby talking about that. Danby wants to come on.
Yeah, true.
All right. Thank you again for everyone writing in. It still blows my mind that people care this much.
It's really funny. It's good. Really good.
At Sparks_Leon, is this the last year of full Ducati dominance? Ducati lucky to have 93. Lots of breads. Are decent now.
Gee, that was a shit on take. James is yawning.
It's been a long
I think day. It's a great take. Yeah, I think it's. I think the days of them dominating top three in every race is over, and we've seen that in the last 6 months. So, yeah, yep. For me, I still think Mark is going to win the championship this early call, but, you know, the likes of KTM and Aprilia and Honda finishing on the podium, Yamaha probably still last. But it'll be interesting. It's going to be an interesting year. Transition year next year for MotoGP, but still some very, very big talking points and very big interest in it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I've said it so many times, the gap has Bridget Goulding itself. It is really, they've bridged the gap. We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
The gap in the pants you're talking about?
Yeah, good thigh gap.
2021 Formula One was a transition year. So it was the last year, yes, of the rules, and they were going into 2022, and it was probably the best year in Formula One history.
But we're not even having a rule change next year, and I still think that gap's going to be...
No. What I'm saying is 2026, yeah, the MotoGP, is, yeah, the last year,
yes, yes,
before,
yes,
the,
yes,
rule change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2021 was the last year, yeah, before, okay, the rule. Gotcha. It's very similar. Next year could be that kind of year.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. I like it, and I hope it is. I hope it is a lot closer, and I think it will be. I just think it's just going to be rider talent. Which is how it should be anyway.
Yeah.
Who wins? Again, sparks on the Leon, because I think this is funny. When will 46 give an interview? Seems like each time 93 has success, 46 goes on a podcast. Comments?
Yeah, it's... they just need a man... You know what? They both need a man up and just, you know, congratulate each other's careers and move on. It's just, you know, it's just crazy.
I watched a thing today about the documentary that's coming out. It's out or whatever. I don't know.
Is it out?
I don't know. I somehow was watching it, and Marquez was talking about how he went to Rossi's ranch, and after he went to Rossi's ranch, beat the lap record, everything cooled off from there.
Yeah,
their,
right,
friendship.
But didn't he bring in the? Didn't Marquez come with the full trailer set up and the factory
Bally,
bikes? And,
Bally, yeah,
yeah. That's a bit much.
That's a winner move. I'm sorry for this, but this is this guy's Instagram handle. at uneven ball sack two. Do you think
my drops are the lower the right as well?
Do you think Mark will let Alex win some races now he's got the championship?
I don't think so.
I think that's ridiculous. That won't happen.
No.
That definitely won't happen.
No.
At Paul Ryan _, not much of a teary guy, but fuck me, Marquez post-race had me choked up.
Mm.
I think it had everyone choked up. It was one of the probably most special celebrations we're probably ever going to see. At Jeremy Moran 7, has Mir found something on the Honda, and has he proven himself worthy of a world champion? Now, I think he's already a worthy world champion because he's won a championship.
No, he's not a worthy world champion.
That's
at all.
That's crazy.
And he definitely has not after one third place, no.
He's definitely a worthy world champion.
Go back to that 2020 season, James. They were just crashing. As soon as someone got in front, they just crashed.
Yeah, but he didn't. And he won the most points and he won the championship.
Yeah, always an asterisk, but Marquez was out.
Look, if Marquez was in, he would have won the world next four, but he wasn't. And he won, and he won on Suzuki, and he won it fair and square. You know, Quartararo lost that title, so...
Two big asterisks from that year is that 2020 Mir, and then Richmond winning the
No asterisks on any of them, obviously. He's a worthy world champion, but I think they've still found something on the Honda, and I think they're not doing a Pecco Bagnaia and just finding something miraculously, which I don't understand. But they've slowly built up to this point, and I think that's a better way to do it anyway. So, I think they have found something. Now, is it going to translate to every track? I don't think so yet. At Scott Kelly Racing Oz, Mark onto the hybrid 24-25 Pecco used for the rest of the season. All out street fight.
That's going to be an interesting call if that happens.
Yeah. But why would Mark change a winning formula?
Yeah, we actually alluded to that earlier in the pod where we sort of touched on that, and I was sort of, it's been sort of cogging in my mind thinking, will he do that? But why? I mean, he's dominated this season. Why would he change? But, you know, if Pecco comes out and wins this weekend, will he think about that for Phillip Island maybe? You know, on his mind.
It will be on his mind for sure until they wheel out this brand new bike next at the Valencia test, which is basically a shiny 24, you're saying anyway. At Zan Martin Jack, do y'all believe Martin can come back and be competitive, or is he done? Love the pod, by the way. Thanks, Zanmar.
Yeah, it's probably half a... You know, we're sitting here talking about Martin being done, but we're also sitting here in 2020 when we said Marquez was done. And look where that tack got us, so... Different kettle of fish completely, but we have very...
That's apples and oranges right there.
We have very, very... Yeah, but, you know, it's not... they're still fruits. They're still fruits, you know?
I've never heard a comeback to that line ever. The man's just made one.
They're still fruits. So, at the end of the day, it's... You know, we have very short memories in this industry. And he might get on an amazing Aprilia in 27 and the rule change and he could be back. Who knows? Only time will tell. He's won a world championship. He won a world championship against Bagnaia, you know, at his best. So, let's see.
Yeah. Look, I don't see him coming back and winning a title. And I think mentally is... Physically, you can come back. I think it's the mental aspect.
How many bones has he broken this year?
Every bone.
Dude, he's broken. I think it was like 8 ribs or something. He's broken his collarbone. You know, like, God, his body just must be just rejecting everything.
I know. And I think just the mental aspect of it is so difficult. And that's what makes the Marquez thing so special.
Who's had this many injuries in a year? When's the last person have this many injuries?
Fucking...
Like, probably Pedrosa with that collarbone. Remember that thing was hanging on by a thread back in the day?
Marco Simoncelli would look at it sideways and it break.
Yeah, I was listening to a story today, funnily enough, about Marquez on Oxley was talking about this. And he said that Marquez, they were talking about 2018 when Marquez had his shoulder surgery. Marquez laid down in the bed and they had the anesthetic put on. And then as soon as he relaxed into the bed, his shoulder popped out. It was hanging on by such a thread. His shoulder. That when he had that anesthetic, his muscles relaxed and it popped out.
Yeah, wow.
It's amazing. Yeah. That's a crazy Marquez story that not a lot of people would know.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
And they went into a 90-minute operation to fix his shoulder and they ended up being a 5-hour operation because they cut it open and going, oh my God, this thing's fucked. It's crazy. Wild.
It is wild. But yeah, Martin, jury's well out for me. I don't think he's coming back on an Aprilia. I think that ship sailed. Maybe a different manufacturer. But just what a sliding doors moment.
Well, the thing is...
Just what a sliding doors moment it is to pick Marc Marquez over Jorge Martin. And Montegi was just the absolute... Montegi was the... Was just the... what's the word? It is the word... Like, it's... the analogy. What an analogy Montegi was. Marquez wins a title and then Jorge Martin gets injured again.
Yeah.
That's the two people you picked.
Analogy, yeah.
Is that right word? I don't know. It's been a long day.
Coincidence.
Nah, it's not right. This is what happens when you use ChatGPT too much. Describe the word you're trying to... Nah, all right.
Carry on,
we'll butcher it. Curdy. It's called Papa. Moto 3, Moto 2. Moto 3, Moto 2, GP, all boring this weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Papa, he's on it. Been quiet lately, Papa. We need you back, baby.
And then the next one, he just gave us a dot.
That's, what's it called? Sign for something.
Go on.
He's coding. He's giving us a coding thing.
Like Morse code?
Yeah, Morse code.
What's a dot mean, Curdy? You know that stuff. You're always hacking into... Don't worry about it. I'll stop right there. At frosty.heat. Ducati deliberately gave Pecco a shit bike to get the Marquez World Championship fairy tale.
Well, there it is. I mean, we had like...
There's a few. Tell me your Rossi fan, that time you...
They did. They kind of pulled the plug, but they didn't pull it all the way. They just hung on. Just hung on.
Just crazy. If people believe that...
Yeah.
Did you watch the race with Damo?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was saying it. Sabotage. Sabotage. El Sabotage.
Did he give him any credit?
Nah, nothing. Nothing. Damo's just talking about how good Stoner is because they're mates again. Nah, Stoner, he's actually the most talented. It's unbelievable. Carry on, James. Can't even talk about it.
That makes me laugh every single time. At NikkiD3604, will Aprilia have the budget to stay competitive in 2027? I like that.
Well, I touched on that. I think that you're paying all this money for Martin when they're a small team. And, you know, can they pay Ayagura, Rao, or Fernandez probably a tenth of what they do with Martin and do a better job, arguably, you know? I mean, you can't... What you pay for is that raw pace. And you know, Martin arguably has been the best qualifier of the past 5 years. And, you know, if it was round one for him this round, he should have been up there in practice and qualifying. He wasn't. He qualified 15th or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't nothing to do with the race. He put himself back in that pack and, you know, it's his fault.
Yeah, he talked about having two setups, a setup for the race bike and a setup for qualifying, where the Ducati, you could just throw the leg over it. Whatever bike,
yeah,
and it'll be fast. So it's different.
But it's so hard to pass in this modern day era. You just have to be up there. You've got to be in the top six to at least have a chance of winning the race.
Just about. Yeah.
You're in the front two rows.
Yeah. Unless you're Mark Marquez, proved us wrong in Phillip Island last year. At Maximilian_Ruben, Martin won't be the same rider as we've seen over the past 2 to 3 years. I completely agree.
There's a chatter on Martin.
There's a lot. More than you think.
Yeah.
At Pewy_89, is Pedro on the KDM? Is Pedro on the KDM the same as Fabio on the Yamaha? Yes. Yes. The KDM is a better bike than the Yamaha, definitely. Yeah. It's a lot worse for Fabio Quartararo, but I'd love to see what Pedro would be doing on a factory Ducati.
What was interesting this weekend was KDM as a whole were pretty nowhere. I mean,
well, Costa was the shining light. I think he got a sprint podium.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, besides from Costa, I mean, it just shows you how talented this kid is because Bastianini didn't even get on the telecast. Vinales is at the back as the injury. And Binder, I mean, I think, was he top 12 maybe?
Yeah, he's struggling, mate.
So,
struggling. We've got a post coming up about that this week. At Zanio_B, Mark's comeback isn't that impressive, and it really comes as no surprise. That's a rough, isn't it? What do you have to do to impress some people?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the fact. I mean, he's on the best bike, but arguably. But the fact is, it's a story, you know? It's a story that's the most amazing thing. It's not a surprise for us because we know how good the guy is, but...
It's not a surprise he's winning to a degree.
Yeah.
It's a surprise on how much he's won, the dominance.
Mm.
It's funny, though. It is hilarious. At last one, at Bay Bikes. Mine for you, Curdy.
Yeah.
I'll be a girl.
Yeah.
Honda's 2027 bike will rival Aprilia. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Honda wheels out in 2027. How good is the post-race 2026 Valencian test going to be?
Mm.
Seeing all the new bikes rolled out. Oh, it's going to be...
That's exciting.
I'll be up for all that 8 hours watching that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a reason for it now, don't we? We have to watch it very intently.
Yeah. And so. I used to love watching it anyway, even when I was a kid.
Oh, it's the best. Doom scrolling with the test in the background. And you go, test, and then a bit more doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Best.
We've known some good doom scrollers.
Yeah.
I used to, before like, you know, it was all televised, I remember post-2006 championship test, they rolled in the 800 cc's. And I was so excited as a kid. I remember going, shout out to MC News. It would have been like a week after the test.
Yeah.
They had the articles out and then all the... it was the first time you could see the photos of the new bikes. So we'd have to wait like a week on the internet and it was just photos. I mean, it was like Nicky Hayden, the black...
Yep.
The black Repsol Honda that had like the little rear seats because it was all changed. The news is the Suzukis and Yamahas and like seeing all the rider changes. And now you just watch it straight away. I was watching... You know, a lot of people would be the same. You would just had to wait for a magazine or... MC News.
And I've talked about this before, James. It's like we've lost a little bit of the mystique and the mystery of you know, especially for me for Formula One. Like we know everything about these drivers. We know everything about their girlfriends. We know everything about testing in the cars. Back when I used to film, like we used to tape the race on a VHS, it was such a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows? I mean, it's...
That's for the better.
It's for the better. Yeah, in the long run. Beautiful.
Mate, see you in a little bit and stay tuned for our
you will.
Patreon Republica Extra Chats, mate.
Yeah.
Head over to our Patreon.
Yeah, head over and subscribe. The guys really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.